Deuteronomy 19. And we're going to pick up at verse number 14. Deuteronomy 19. At verse number 14, the Bible says this. Again, Moses is just instructing them as they get ready to go into the land of promise. He says in Deuteronomy 19, verse 14, "Thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it." Father, thank you for your word. Teach us. Please direct us. Help us and guide us this morning. Help us to be yielded, willing, and obedient. We ask this in the blessed Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Okay. Landmarks. Moses told the children of Israel by the word of the Lord, he said, "Thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance." So landmark. What is a landmark? Well, it's defined in the dictionary as a mark to designate the boundary of land. Okay? You set up a landmark and that fixes and it points out the boundaries, the limits of your land, of your property. It's also any marked or fixed object by which the limits of a portion of territory may be known and preserved. All right? So you set up a landmark. And that landmark does a lot of things. All right? When you set up landmarks, it says, whoa. This determines the limits of either my property or that's my neighbor's landmark. That's his property. I know where I'm at. I know my boundaries. I know my limits. Landmarks also, again, they do just what their name implies. They mark the land. They establish boundaries. They also provide direction. They let you know where you are. There's a big, huge landmark where we're from. Up near Mount Airy, where we're from, there's this big, huge landmark called Pilot Mountain. All right? Andy Griffith's show was called Mount Pilot. Okay? But it's really Pilot Mountain. And that thing just juts up, boom, in the middle. There it is. There it is. Now, the Blue Ridge Mountains extend right above us. All right? And then over, there's a range called the Sauratown Mountains. And Pilot Mountain was a part of the Sauratown Mountains, just but separated by itself. And it just juts up. There it is. I mean, there's not any other mountain range around near it. It's just, there it is. And you can see it a long way off. All right? You can see it from Winston-Salem and way beyond that. You can, from the top of Pilot Mountain or near it, you can see up to Buffalo Mountain in Virginia. You can see, when it's clear, you can see all the way around. In fact, the Indians called it Jomeokee. That was their name for it. Because it meant the same kind of thing, pilot or guide. In other words, if you are within, maybe 50 or 75 some miles of that area, if you can see that mountain, you know where you're at. Because every view of it is different. When you're standing like where I'm from, you see the knob and then the saddle and the pinnacle. If you're standing another way of it, you just see this certain view of it. Another way, you just see the pinnacle. So wherever you're at, you can kind of know your general direction by how that mountain looks and your aspect of it. And so it was used as a guide. That's why it's called Pilot Mountain. It was a guide. From the time way back of the Indians, it helped you know where you were at and get your bearings. And that's what landmarks do. They define limits. They define boundaries. And they give direction. They give guidance. They let you know where you are. Well, listen. Landmarks are important. Spiritually, they're important. They let you, your family, and others know their limits. Where you stand. At what point that trespass occurs. Think about it. There's your neighbor's landmark. So you know. If I go over this point, I'm on his land. And if he ain't asked me there, or if he don't want me there, I'm trespassing. I'm taking liberties. I'm going beyond. Okay? If he's not asked me, I'm trespassing then. I'm taking liberties upon his land. And those landmarks letting me know that. Again, they let you know your limits. You know what? It's good because, look, a family, if you send a boy out to plow in the field, you send him out to do something, he needs to know the boundaries. so that he's not plowing into somebody else's property. Look at that. He's not cutting down trees on somebody else. Son, here's one of our landmarks. Son, here's one of our boundary marks. Here's one of our landmarks. You know, you keep yourself within this. And the family knows where they're at. So they don't trespass. They don't violate. They don't go beyond. And it's the same kind of thing spiritually. We and our families need to know our limits. Now listen, someday, fellas, someday, girls, you will, maybe, Lord willing, have a family of your own. And you're going to establish your boundaries and your limits then. All right? But right now, your boundaries and your limits are set up by the home you dwell in. Now they just are. They just are. You don't have any of your own yet, so to speak. And what I'm saying is, you know what I mean. But someday, your husband, you and your family, you'll have your own place staked out maybe or whatever like that. But right now, the boundaries and limits you have are set up by the home you dwell in. And you might someday have some different ones. But right now, those limits, those boundaries are determined by the home whose authority you're under. And you need to remember that. And you need to know those things so that you don't overstep them and go beyond them. Because that's the boundaries and the landmarks set up by the authority in your home. And moms, dads, they need to know them. And then so that we don't go beyond this. We don't tread. This is this. Because listen, we need to know at what point trespass occurs. Set up some landmarks. Set up some landmarks. Define what you hold as true, right, and important. Do you understand? You need to set some landmarks up in your home. Define for your family what you hold as true, as important, as right. To where they know that. Know what's important to you. Know what's right. You know, look here. Honestly. One of the most basic of issues. But your wife, your children, your family. They need to know your stand upon the King James Bible. And why you take that stand. You need to listen. They need to know what is your grounds on personal holiness. And separation from the world. They knew the grounds that you have. Now listen, does that mean that sometimes some questions won't come up? Of course they'll come up. Watch the children of Israel. Listen, did God set everything up to where that no question ever came up? No, questions came up. Don't you remember? Look, God set up some rules, but the daughters of Zelophehad came and said, Daddy ain't got no sons, we're his daughters. And if we get married, the inheritance will go to another tribe. If we marry, what we do? Legitimate question that hadn't been covered yet. So they went to Moses, who went to God, got the answer. So listen, even when we set up those boundaries and all, sometimes some questions were going to come up. But you know what? If you've got some landmarks set up, they'll be easier to answer. You'll be able to stay within those grounds that you know are right. These things we know. These limits we know. These things are defined. We know these things. And it'll help answer the different things that come up. It really will. But if there's nothing there. If there's nothing there. Man, it's just going to be confusing. Man, it's going to be. Have you ever seen some of the lines drawn up for counties and states? Did you know, honestly, some people have thought that the ones who set up some of the state boundaries were drunk. And I'm serious. There are really people that honestly feel like that possibly some of these guys were drunk. Because if you see some of the boundaries of some states, it's like, what in the world? I mean, some of them are obvious. It's a river. Maybe it's a mountain range. But some of them, it's like, why did you do that? There is some questions about some of them were imbibing a little bit. Because it just sounds like it kind of makes some sense. Kind of figure thing out, right? And all different kind of reasons. But one thing about boundaries and landmarks are, they give you those bearings. Look. If you've set up some landmarks of personal holiness, then you know what? When a question comes up, you've already set some boundaries, so you're going to be within the confines of that to answer that question. It'll be easier to handle. You have some direction you need. Man, have you ever done that? You're just going to be standing there, man, with your your thumb in your mouth or your finger in your nose or something, man, standing there trying to figure out what in the world do I do or why do I make sense of this thing or what? Because you're not setting anything up. Set up some landmarks. Set up some boundaries. Define some things, some limits where your stand is. And you know what? Look, Dad, talk to the wife about it. Discuss things. You got to make the call. But define these things. Define these things. Look at these things. Find out these things are important. The things will come up. Things where the family's going to need to know that, you know what, you want to do? It'll help your family out. You know how to help your family out? Because when your kids get older and they're wondering, what do I do? And they're faced with some situations. All right, you know what? That's my family's boundaries. That's my family's landmarks. That's my family's limit. That helps them. That helps them. They've got some till they maybe establish their own or their own family someday. They can fall back on those things right there. It's helpful. It's safe for them. It's good. Listen, define what you hold as true, right, and important. When a family member strays, landmarks help them find their way back. You got me? When a family member strays, landmarks help them find their way back. Son, if you're ever out there hunting and you get lost, now remember, look for this and you know you're on our property. When you see this, you'll know, you know, over there. Now that's, when you see that, now that's our neighbors, so that's not our property, but you kind of know where you're at. Landmarks define things, and when you stray, they help you find your way back. But if there aren't any, you can get just as confused trying to get back as you did going astray. There's no direction. Landmarks help. Are they foolproof way from someone going astray? No, sometimes people will still go astray. But it helps them from going astray, and it helps them get back if they want to. Look here. See what else they do. Without them, there is unsurety of what you believe, of what you hold to as truth. A church, a home, an individual should have some identifiable landmarks set up. They should. You know, I appreciate Brother Tyler, when we went on that boys' camping trip, Your Honor, Brother Tyler. And I appreciate Tyler, I do. Tyler had heard me before talk about at the Children of Israel, the campsites, they had their ensign set up. So he told Brother Brad, he said, we need an ensign. We need an ensign that identifies us as, and so Brad did it. And we had a King James Bible Baptist Church, and we got there and they hammered it in to where anybody come by, they knew what we were about. Hopefully that was for good. They knew who was snoring. They knew what crowd was with it, right? They knew where to identify that. But, amen, it identifies some things. You know what? That's what landmarks do. Let me tell you something about landmarks. Landmarks should be things that have stood and will stand the test of time. Landmarks. Listen, don't make a landmark out of just a pile of red clay. That's things going to wash away. Man, this needs to be something that like Pilot Mountain. That's just a big granite knob, right? It's a mountain. That thing stood the test of time, bud. That ain't gonna wear away anytime soon. Man, you make a landmark, make it something like some of those cairns that they use in state parks or in federal parks. They're made of rock, stacked on top of one another. And you want that help? They're not gonna wash away. They're there. They're identifiable. You can get your bearings with that thing. So landmarks need to be something that have stood and will stand the test of time. Go to because notice what it says. Notice what it says in Deuteronomy 19:14, which they of old time have set up in thine inheritance. Which they of old time. Take your Bible. Go to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, look at verse 8. I'm sorry. That's not where I meant to go. Go to Proverbs 23, verse 10. Remove not the old landmark and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. Remove what? Not what? The old landmark. Something old. It stood the test of time. It's been there. Don't remove it. Okay? Listen, if you want to set up some landmarks, set up those that have stood the test of time. Go to Jeremiah 6. Jeremiah 6. You can't fail with setting up that King James Bible as a landmark. In fact, put that one up there first, man. Put that thing. I mean, you can't fail. It stood the test of time. It stood the test of time. You can take and define things by it. You can set the other limits, the other landmarks by it. Man, know where you stand concerning the Word of God. Jeremiah 6, look at verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. One thing I will give them, they're at least honest. Most people today aren't going to walk in those old paths, but they're not going to admit it. One thing you got to say, at least they admit it. They said, we're not doing it. You got to give them that at least. Most people today, they're not going to walk in the old paths, but they're not going to admit it. They won't say it. Because to say it, you got to face your rebellious attitude. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, stand ye in the ways. What does that mean? Stand ye in the ways. It didn't say stand in the way. It says stand in the ways. So that implies you're standing somewhere where more than one path or more than one road meet together. Stand ye in the ways and see. And see. In other words, it's like stand there and look, observe, use your head, use your eyes, look, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And you shall find rest in your souls. Look, come on, folks. Stand and look. Look at the old paths. Look at the new paths. Come on, folks. Look, is it better today or is it better with the old paths? Come on, huh? Brother, most marriages today, families today, individual lives today, there's always been sin, but look at the trouble, look at the mess when people choose the new paths. The Bible says ask for the old paths. Y'all look, I'm not saying that people, I mentioned the other night, Brother Chris was talking about some devotional things and all. Look, I'm not saying that hymns can't still be written today. I'm not saying they can be. But it better line up with the same spirit and the same truth as the hymns of old. Man, that stuff has stood the test of time. It's just stood the test of time. Brethren, when I sing those hymns, it's like, wow, that brother or that sister knows about it. They're going through the same battles I'm going through. They're going through the same struggles I'm going through. They need the same help that I need. It's just real. It's true. It's good. You know what you find out with a lot of this stuff? You find not only doctrinal truth, you find reality. Amen. Brethren, the problem with today's praise courses and everything, it's always that upbeat thing. But come on, man. It ain't always upbeat. You fighting the battles. You fighting the battles. Trying to do right by God, trying to do right by your husband, wife, your children, trying to take right by your parents, it ain't always up there in the clouds with just all everything wonderful. Man, it's a battle at times. And those hymns speak of the reality of that. And that's the problem when you have something how can I put this thing? The Bible gives us praise, but it does so in truth. Brother, so often today, but in its praise, you're getting truth that's in there. But brother, today people just want a good lifted up feeling, not help. Brother, thank God for a lifted up feeling. Thank God for we can get our spirits lifted a little bit. That's fine. That's good. But man, you got to get something better, but something more rather that's going to help you through that week and help you through tomorrow and help you with the stuff that's coming up. Because we've got a real enemy that is doing his best to waylay us and take us out. Amen. And he does not let up. He doesn't. And you got to oppose him with truth. You got to oppose him with truth, not merely just a praise chorus, with some truth, with some doctrine. All right? Friend, thank God for getting lifted up. We need that. We need encouragement. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with your spirits being lifted some. In fact, I'll give you a little hint. Sometimes when you're down, just go outside, and as you're walking, look up. Mm-hmm. See if I'm not right. See if I'm not right. There's sometimes if you just look up at the sky, if you don't pick up some. Listen, let me tell you something. They'll tell you when you're lifting weights or anything, you're going where your head's going. You're going where your head's going. If a man's squatting with a big bar on his back, if his head's down, he's going down. He is going down. You're going where your head's going. That's why they always tell them to pick their head up. You pick your head up. In almost anything, you're going where your head's going and where those eyes are looking. That's where you're going. There was a brother one time. He had been a motorcycle policeman, and he was having a hard time passing the test. They were giving him one more try. And some guy pulled him aside and said, "Look, man, when you're coming into this curve," Jimmy, I guess you know about this kind of thing. He said, "When you come in this curve," he said, "you are looking in the curve." He goes, "Look ahead to where you want to be because you're going where you're looking at." And you know what? He said, that did it. He said, "I came out of the thing. I looked where I wanted to be and I made it. Got it. Got through the thing." So what I'm saying is sometimes you just need to look up. And that's fine, we need some of that. But to get you, man, you need some meat. You need some things to help you through the week, some doctrine, some things from the Word of God, and for those hymns that are true and right. I'm saying the old paths. The old paths. What's tried and true and tested. The old paths. But you better be careful about this stuff. It's new. Better be careful. Better stick with what's stood the test, what's right. I want to tell you something. There's some basic things that are just right, and you better have them, and they're just as right as rain, and you better stick with it, and it ain't going to change. That's that study of that Bible, that King James Bible, prayer, and assembling with the brethren of church. Listen, the one-day-old saint needs those things, and the 80-year-old saint needs those things. I don't care how newly saved you are or how old saved you are, you need those things. That never changes. Time spent in your Bible, time spent in prayer, time around the saints, around the brethren. And those old tried true things will stand the test. They'll do it. Look here, set up some landmarks. My mom and daddy set some landmarks up. I told you before, I still to this day have not seen The Wizard of Oz. And I have no desire to see it, to be honest with you. From what I've heard about it, I have no desire to see it. I never saw it. You say, how did you never see The Wizard of Oz? Because it all came on Sunday night and we was in church. I'm just being honest with you. That stuff came on Sunday night. On Sunday night, 7 o'clock, was the Disney thing that come on. I forgot what channel it used to be. ABC, NBC, CBS, right? And it came on, right? I never saw that stuff because we was in church. That's just the way it was. It wasn't debatable. It was just the way it was. You say, did you resent it? No, sir. Never did. I was glad. It was. I remember one time all my relatives got together, right? They went to the lake. And some of them had boats and everything. I mean, mom and dad didn't have no boat. They didn't have no money for nothing like that. But we all went with them, right? We was cooking out and everything, and they was all staying the night there. They was all going to stay the night. And we'd come home, church the next day. And you know what I felt for my parents at that point? I was so proud of them in the right way. And I thought, they're putting God first. I was a kid. I didn't feel like, why can't I stay? Why can't I stay? Everybody else gets to. It's just one day. No, it didn't feel that way. I was like, that's a blessing. I'm so glad they're doing the right thing. Amen. You know what? It was a landmark. It was something set up to where it was just done. It's just the way it was. I didn't resent it. I was glad for it. And it was a given. It was something to steer by and to know that you put it there and it's just right. Man, some landmarks. There's got to be some landmarks set up. Some things are important to you. By the way, let me tell you something. When you have your kids, some of you here, when you have your kids, determine what is important for you. Emphasize that and put it in place with the rod and in the right way, with correction. But find out what's important to you. Look here. There, something may be important to one family that's not as important to another family. I'm not talking about the things of God and His Word. I'm talking about maybe certain things of how you rear the kids. One thing may be important to one family that may be not. That's okay. Find your ground. Let me tell you something. If you try to take and set up your family's boundaries because of what everybody else does, they'll never respect you. First of all, they'll lose their mind because you're trying to mush into your home what everybody else does. Not because God's told you to do it. You're just trying to conform and look spiritual and to hide what you really are. Do you understand that? When you try to just do what everybody else does without conviction behind it, it ain't going to work. Because it will be true shown that you're trying to mask what you really are. All right? And truth come out on you. What you do is you find your ground by God and you set up them landmarks and them boundaries. Not trying to just take on what everybody else does so that you've got every dot, dotted, every I dotted, every T crossed so that everybody, you look pretty spiritual, everybody. That ain't real. Try to take what everybody does and mush your family into it or mush your, no, find the issues and the things you feel like God has put on you and find your ground and set those things up. And adapt them as needed as things go on, but always by God, always by God. Look here, set up those landmarks that have stood the test of time. Old landmarks established by the word of God and his faithful servants. Let me tell you something about landmarks. They need to be placed where they can be easily seen by family and others. What good is a landmark you can't see? Now, son, when you get to this big rock formation, and you're going to know where you're at. Well, that's good. Oh, I got that. If you put a landmark that you can't find, you're going to be in bad shape. Right? Because you may even trip over the thing and think, wow, what are the rocks doing there? It was a landmark. It wasn't very well defined. And if you think I'm silly about it, I just got through reading about a lady and her husband that just got lost out in Utah. And thank the Lord, they lived. He had to go find help, but she was in the desert. She was hours away from death before they finally got to her. Did you know what? They crisscrossed the trail numbers of times. It wasn't clearly defined, and the landmarks had been either messed with or were hidden. There was a problem defining things, and they lost their way. And they kept going across it. They was right around it. They could have got out, but the landmarks weren't clear. The path wasn't plain. And she almost died. You know what? We will bring damage and spiritual destruction to our homes and churches if the path isn't plain and the ways aren't marked out. You understand? If the paths aren't plain and the ways aren't clearly marked out. She did. She almost died because the landmarks weren't plain. If family or other men or others don't know the boundaries and limits, it could bring much heartache to you. Can I ask you something? Does your dress and attire define your boundaries and limits? Does your dress and attire define your boundaries and limits? Listen, there's many girls out there today wearing something plunging deep or pulling up high. And a young man says, I see where I can take liberties. How dare you? Well, you didn't define. You better do better defining them then. I thought I was just being honest. You know, I understand. Anybody accused, anybody taking liberties, that is wrong. Any girl that's ever been raped, that boy deserves to be put to death. You understand that. But you know the Bible does speak of with her flattering, she forced him. Listen, you think, well, words can't. No, the Bible says words and appearance can have strong impulses and pulls. No, it doesn't excuse somebody for what they did. No, sir. But can I ask you something? If something bad happens to you, what comfort is it in that, well, it's their fault. I mean, they're still guilty for it. It's kind of like, brother, it's kind of like I'm in a stoplight or I'm in a situation where I have the right of way. But I may be, even though I have the right of way, I might need to stop because what good is being right when I'm banged up? A little common sense here, a little sense about the thing here. I'm right though. I won't get the ticket. Well, that's good. You couldn't hold it anyway. They'll put it in your teeth because you're in a body cast. I mean, or if you did get it or whatever it was. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, what good is that? I'm okay. I get the ticket. Yeah, but still. Even though it was legal, wouldn't common sense have said, I better stop here just a minute. I better be careful in a minute. Folks, listen, I'm just going to ask you, does your dress and attire define your limits? Let's deal with reality. Let's don't deal with high-flown, how it ought to be. Let's deal with reality. And reality is, you dress in certain ways. Young girls, remember this. You dress in certain ways, there's guys out there who think, well, if it ain't for sale, you shouldn't be displaying it. How dare you? You took liberties. Whoa. Didn't quite know what the boundaries there were. I mean, you know, trespass happens when boundaries aren't clearly marked out. And there's clear understanding. Now, I'm serious. It's as serious as I can be. Look here. Take your Bible. Watch this. Deuteronomy 19. Look what it says. Watch this. Deuteronomy 19. Look at verse 14. Thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance. Look what it says. Which they of old time have set in thine inheritance. Do you see what it says? In thine inheritance. Go to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. The old landmarks in thine inheritance. 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 21. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 21. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Listen. The old landmarks in your inheritance. You know what? We have some landmarks in our inheritance. Hey, all things are ours, right? You have entered in. There's an inheritance awaiting us, but you have entered into a spiritual inheritance once you got saved. You've entered into something. Once you got saved, you have entered into some things that belong to you. Look here. There's some old landmarks in our inheritance. But what do you mean old landmarks in our inheritance? Well, there's the landmark of the blood. The precious blood of Christ that these new Bibles and these new hymn books are trying to downplay and take away. There's the, you've heard it, the blood, the book, and the blessed hope. Well, it's true. It's true. The book. The devil can't stand that King James Bible, and he's doing everything he can to take it away from people's hearts and lives as much as he can out of churches. That's why there's no power. Look, the blessed hope. The translation of the church. The Lord coming back for the saints and taking them out before the time of the tribulation. Let me tell you something. They're going to try to take that away bit by bit. That's some landmarks you need to hold tight to. Because if you let people take that away from you, it's going to lead to other things. Your joy is going to be taken away. You're going to get despondent. Next thing you know, you're going to be trying to lay at peanut butter and bullets. You understand me? You'll take and realize that, you know what, we're looking for the translation of the church, the rapture of the church, that blessed hope, our Lord Jesus Christ coming for us. You think, well, we're going to go through the tribulation. You mean some of this crowd out here, and then instead of looking to God, doing what we're supposed to do, they're trying to lay up peanut butter and bullets like they did in the year 2000. And they're going to get themselves in a fix. Man, hold tight to the book, the blood, the blessed hope, those landmarks. Look, the person and finished work of Christ. Who he is and the completeness of his word. Hey, personal holiness. Man alive. That is going by the wayside. Personal holiness. Holiness that is beautiful to the Lord. Holiness that should mark the believer. Man, our God is holy, y'all. And he requires his people to be a holy people. The Bible says, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of what? Holiness. Holiness. Hold tight to those things. Set them up and hold fast to them. Listen, if family or church do not know the boundaries and the landmarks, then they don't know what is theirs to protect and defend. Right? I mean, look here. Son, put your arm around the boy. Come here, son. Now look, someday I might pass off the scene here. And probably I will soon, maybe. And look here. I want you to know that right there, there's one of our landmarks. That's on the northwest quadrant. Now, and there's another one. Son, this defines our property. Maybe if you had a lot. You know, they say out in Texas there's been ranches bigger than some states. So, seriously. Can you imagine riding out saying, son, look right there. That marks our property. This is yours, son. I'm leaving it to you. But you got to know what's yours so you can defend it, whether in court or otherwise, so you can know to defend it what is yours. You got to define them things. Folks, without landmarks. Nobody's going to know in our church or homes what's theirs to protect and defend. The enemy can thus come in and trick them into conceding and giving over what is rightfully theirs, or fool them into not defending right ground. Think about it. If a person doesn't know the landmarks, if a person doesn't know the boundaries, you know what they're liable to do? They're liable to take and defend something that's not even theirs, that they have no right to, and get themselves in a fix. You know, look here. They're liable to take and look for legal help to defend me. I'm trying to defend what's mine. Well, sir, that's not even yours. What? Why? We mean it's not mine. No, that's legally not yours. Didn't you know here are the boundary marks? Well, you didn't ever know. You never knew your boundaries. You never knew the landmarks. You never knew what belonged to yours. You're trying to defend something that don't even belong to you. It's not yours. If you're not careful, the enemy will try to trick you in one way or the other. And he'll try to, if you don't know the landmarks, you'll try to defend something that's not even yours. Or you know what you might do? You might overstep your bounds again into something that's not yours. Overstep your bounds. Listen, he'll try to trick you into conceding and giving over what's rightfully yours. You know what I might say? If you don't know the boundaries, you know what might happen? Here's what might happen. Somebody comes up and says, that's mine. That little strip out there is mine. Really? Yeah, it's mine. And it's all this. And so look, I don't want to take you to court. Just go ahead and sign this paperwork, but it's mine. Oh, okay. And you know what? You may have given over something that is rightfully yours because you didn't know your boundaries. You didn't know the landmarks. You didn't know. You need to know where the boundaries are. You need to know the landmarks. Because if you don't, the enemy can take advantage of you. You might defend something that's not even yours, or you might give up something that is yours. If you don't know these things. You know what? There are folks today sitting in churches, sitting in their homes, and they don't know the boundaries. They don't even have any boundaries. It's just kind of a big mush-mash. And they don't know what to defend, how to defend it. They don't know what's really theirs as a believer, what belongs to them, some of the landmarks of the faith. They're not being clearly pointed out. You know what you do if you've got a landmark? Sometimes you let it get, it gets grown over. You know what I'm saying? You need to clean up around it and make it plain again. In your home, in church, if there's some things that aren't plain, make them plain. If you failed, admit your failure and set them up. And don't just borrow from everybody else. Somebody's going to respect you. Find your own. According to the Word of God. Young husbands in here, old husbands, it don't matter. Young daddies, older daddies. Let me tell you what will produce respect in the family. When they know that you have a spiritual life yourself and are going to the Word of God, find your ground. I had to make some calls in my life. I've had to make some heavy calls starting out when we first got married. Some heavy calls. You know the one thing that helped make it through? She told me. She said, I knew you were going to trust. You were looking for God, looking to His Word, and getting God to guide you. Some of you have heard my testimony of this, but I'll tell it to you one more time. Listen, there's no way I'd be standing here pastoring you. There's no way I'd be standing here pastoring you if something hadn't took place. Look here. I was saved. My wife got saved about a month or so after we got married. She thought she was saved, but realized she wasn't. Got born again. Praise the Lord. But there were some things, the way I'd been brought up and she'd been brought up, that needed to be worked on. Wasn't quite as they ought to be. And I was in the military at that time. And I went to Azores for about 2 months. And there was a missionary over there. And boy, God just got me alone and just took off. Just took off with me. And I come back, and I knew some things need to be different in the house. We had been married maybe 2 years. No, I think it was even 2 years yet. And I thought, Lord, some of this is going to be so different than the way she's been raised up. And some of the ways, I said, but Lord, what if she leaves me? And so, I compromised. And I didn't take the stand I should have taken. And for a year, my fellowship with God was destroyed. Oh, I stayed in church. I read my Bible. Dead. People would come over and visit us. And I would put on the big fake, bud. Ha, 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 laugh, have a good time. As soon as they left, I was just, because I was miserable inside. Why? I had not took the stand I knew God wanted me to do. I had not gone forward. And honey, if you don't go forward, you're going to go back. You're going to go bad, stagnant. And my fellowship with God for about a year was just destroyed. And I remember where I was sitting in our apartment. And I was reading my Bible. Because I still read my Bible. Still come to church. Things went right. Oh, I wasn't in no bad sin. I wasn't doing it. Brother, I hadn't obeyed God. I put her before God. Afraid what she might do. And God came to me again and said, "Youngin, I'm giving you another chance. What are you going to do?" I was in my chair reading my Bible. I remember I got up and I went to the bedroom and I said, "Sarah, I love you. And I'll never put you away. But I said, sweetheart, there's some things that this book says that we've got to do, and by the grace of God, we're going to do." Now listen, I always took her to the book. I said, "Honey, the Bible." She always knew it wasn't me trying to wield my power. I was going what the book said. And you know what she told me later? She said, "Jonathan, I got mad." She goes, "But I wasn't mad at you." She said, "I was mad because I knew you were right, and I just didn't want to do right." But she yielded, and God blessed. And you know something? It wasn't too much long after that I knew the Lord was calling me to preach. I knew it. He'd have never done it, though. Never. Never. If things hadn't been in order in the home. There was a man one time at our church years ago, and he just kept having problems with his wife, and he kept caving in. And I remember one time he said, "I'm just doing what any of you do, just trying to make your wife happy." And I thought, no, bud, not all of us do that. No, not all we do. Not saying it's easy. Not saying that at all. And God help, who knows what tomorrow holds. But no, it's not just a matter. Some of us had to take the stand sometime at the point of losing what we loved. At the point of possibly having maybe our wife fall, because God had to be first. And God honored and turned that thing around. So don't you sit there and say, it's good. No, sir. Don't you go and say, "Well, anybody would do what I'm doing." No, sir. Some of us hadn't. "Well, aren't you Mr. Spiritual?" I'm not saying that. And I might blow it tomorrow. But I'm just telling you the truth. And I'm telling you what's there for any of us. But you've got to take and square up with it. And when God's telling you what to do that's right, do it. And you don't hide behind others or try to get others' convictions or try to ride others' spirituality. You find by the word of God your ground, by the Lord guiding you, and you take it. And if you don't, nobody's going to respect you. Family won't respect you. One thing that helped see that thing through, where she stood by me so wonderfully, she said, "Jonathan, I saw you pray. I saw you go to the book. I saw you try to get to where she could know." Listen, I'm not saying anything about me. To where the confidence she had was, I was trying to seek God. And she could trust that. Listen, some landmarks. Set them up. And let them be things that God has given you by the book and your ground. Let me say something to you. Go back to Deuteronomy 19 real quick. Look at verse 14. "Thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it." Notice it says, thy neighbor's landmark. Did you see that? Thy neighbor's landmark. Last point I want to make with this thing is this. Don't remove your neighbor's landmark. Did you know a man removing his neighbor's landmark, there's a word for him? He's a thief. There's only one reason you would remove your neighbor's landmark. You're trying to take what belongs to him. Brother, you remove landmarks because you want that property, and you remove the landmark, you can't define it, and it's up for debate. You want what's his. It's a thief. It's a thief that removes landmarks. A man doing this wants to encroach on his neighbor's property. Remove your own if you want to, but you better leave your neighbors alone. He said, remove not thy neighbor's landmark. They that do such things are working for the devil. Let me show you what I mean. Go to John 10. John 10. So, look here. Let's suppose that Brother Jimmy's got some land over there in Wasmasami, seriously. And I want some of that land. Or I want it at least to be debatable. Maybe there's no courts around that like that. But everybody's always known there's that. You want to do? Remove that thing. Remove that thing. I don't know. If I cut it down, it might look too obvious. But maybe if I poison that tree. Maybe if I poison that tree and wink at it. A good storm blow it over. Jimmy, you know, I'm going to be doing some of this land. Well, that's mine. Oh, no, Jimmy, now. No, there was something. Well, Jimmy, that's not there no more. I hate that happened, but, you know, we can't really, you know, and see, that's just your word, Jimmy. What I'm saying is somebody messing with the landmarks, your neighbor's landmark, they're wanting something. John 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and destroy. I'm come that my life and have more abundantly. Go to 2 Corinthians 11. There's a point I'm getting at. Just if you hold with me, there's a point I'm getting at. 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end should be according to their works. I say again, let no man think me a fool, otherwise yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, look what it says, if a man take of you. If a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. The devil's a thief, right? Paul's talking about his ministers, false apostles. Paul is warning them about people who would take of them. People who want to rob them of liberty, who want to rob them of spiritual good that they have. And Paul said they're ministers of Satan. Brethren, there are people out there who are working for the devil, whether they realize it or not, and they want to rob and steal you from the liberty you have in Christ, for the good things you have in the Lord. They want to take it. They want to rob you. Okay, hold on. Go to Galatians 2, verse 4. Galatians 2, verse 4. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. False brethren who want to rob you from spiritual good. Revelation 3. Revelation 3. Verse 11. Revelation 3, verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. You know what? Jesus said the devil's a thief, he's a liar. There are false workers who wanted to take from the brethren. Those who want to spy liberty. And there are those, the devil, who wants to take your crown. They want to rob you of reward. Now here's my point. Here's my point. Somebody wanting to rob you or steal for you, one of the ways to go about it is to remove the landmarks to where things aren't defined. And they can encroach then on what's yours. They can start putting doubt there. Did you hear me? They can start putting doubt. That's not yours. Well, yeah, it is. It's always been. Well, man, that thing's always been there. Well, it's not now. What'd you do to it? What are you accusing me of? I didn't do anything. Well, that's always been there. It's always been the landmark that defined. Well, it's not there now. It's not there now. So then what happens? Well, I know it was. I know it was right there. And you know what? You got a little doubt starting in. You know what the devil wants to do? To rob you? To take away your liberty? He wants to put a doubt in your head. He wants to put a doubt. He wants to put a little questionnaire. Get you debating with things. So listen, the enemy will rob you by removing boundaries. which he does first by removing landmarks. Don't let it be done. When you've got some landmarks pinned down and you keep them cleaned up around, in good repair and noticeable, it lets everybody know where you're at, lets the family know where they're at, defines the boundaries, gives direction. And you know what it also does? Listen, it helps prevent any confusion or any doubt from somebody who'd like to take some from you. And the devil, who wants to take your joy, take crowns, take your liberty, you know what? He wants to take and cause some confusion, cause some doubt. One of the best ways you can avoid that is have some good, clean, clear, set up, plain landmarks that establish and set some boundaries and some definable limits. And you set them up by that book. You set them up and you keep them maintained and you keep them where they can be seen and noticed, and listen, and they define things for you and they give the direction of the guidance needed. Let's pray. Father, Father, we live in the day and age of non-denominational, let's break it all down and everybody just come together and just sing and make ourselves feel good. Lord, you know, Father, you know, I'm not against any, Lord, joy, any good feeling, dear God, any encouragement. We need that. I understand that. But Lord, anything that starts erasing boundaries, anything that starts removing landmarks, Lord, then there's no definition of things. Then there is opportunity for the enemy to rob and take from and cause confusion. And Father, we better be careful today, Lord. I'm convinced. I know, Lord, we better be careful about... It sounds good at times about non-denominational things and all, Lord. It sounds so together and so. But Lord, things we believe define us. Now, Lord, I could care less about Baptist unless it's Bible Baptist. I don't care about the title Baptist. It better be by Bible. It better be by the Bible. But Father, that being said, help us, dear God, to set up and set up as a standard, as a church and as our homes, individuals, things we believe and hold true and dear, and Lord, define them and hold fast to them so that, Lord, they set up our limits so we know what's ours and what to defend. And we can't as easily then be taken advantage of and, Lord, robbed. And Lord, in our personal lives of personal holiness, Lord, help us to set up standards, Lord, of and limits of holiness and rightness. Father, there's a lot of good stuff with this thought, Lord, about landmarks. I'm sure many could do a whole lot better job and a thoroughness with it. But Father, there it is today. I know these things are true and these principles are right. Help us, Lord, to leave from here chewing on it, meditating on it, and applying it where and as we have need. And Father, I thank you and I ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.